Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster back in the saddle again after a lovely four-day break. We don't get many breaks like that in broadcasting, so we will take it. Hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. I've got John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show, and together we welcome you to the program, The Buckmaster Show, for this Monday, November 29th, 2021, as we officially now get into the Christmas season. Certainly doesn't feel very Christmassy outside, as our temperatures should be about 70 this time of year, and we are now going to be today in the lower 80s, 82 for the high. I'll take it. We'll take a week of 80-degree weather here as we transition into December. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. Green Thing Zocalo Village with our naming sponsors of our studio, and we'll tell you more about them later in the hour. The radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We kick off our Monday show, as we have done for pretty much 11 full years now, because we'll be closing out on 11 years on the radio, with our Monday Political Face-Off. The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Check out their revamped and updated website if you're looking for some beautiful, unusual things for Christmas. How about doing a little e-commerce? Their website is moesgallery.com. They are conveniently located at Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Again, the website is moesgallery.com. With me in studio, seated to my right, Bill Maynard is here. Bill is the chair of the Legislative District Number 11, one of the largest Republican districts in Pima County. Bill, welcome to our program. Your first visit with us, and I'm glad to have you here.
Well, thank you very much, Bill. Appreciate it. Glad to be here, sir.
Bonnie Heidler is with us, seated to my left. Bonnie, it is her second visit to the program. Bonnie, we liked you so much with your first visit, we've asked you back. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Bill. Glad to be here.
Bonnie is the chairwoman of the Democratic Party of Pima County. Well, senators return to Washington today. With them will come fierce debate over President Biden's sprawling social spending and climate bill that passed the House earlier this month. The Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is saying he would like the chamber to pass the so-called Build Back Better plan before Christmas, but several key provisions in that roughly $2 trillion measure need to be hashed out. Bill and Bonnie, it seems like one of the sticking points is what's being referred to as SALT. The House passed the bill, which raises the $1,000 cap on state and local tax deductions to $80,000 beginning in the tax year 2021, and extended that over 9 years. Bill Maynard, is that the big issue here, or generally, what do you find objectionable about the Build Back Better plan, Bill?
Well, geez, I don't really know where to start. I mean, it's like a march towards socialism, communism, totalitarianism. Actually, it's a bridge league toward it. You can see that you're moving toward nationalization of education, child care, nationalization of the banks. And look at just the what it's going to do to the deficit. You have the CBO report, which is scary. And there you've got a bipartisan group looking at this and saying that, first of all, it's not paid for. Nowhere is it close to being paid for. With the increase in debt and interest and so forth, that just the servicing the interest will, the last two decades, the last 20 years of the projected project will run it three times. It'll be triple the total economics production of the country for the last 20 years.
Is there anything you like about it?
There must be something.
Okay. Bonnie, I know you don't have the objections that Bill has.
Oh, no. Well, first of all, it's going to be doing so much for the American people. And that's what we're really talking about, is how can we help the average day, everyday person in this country? And that's one of the things that it definitely will do. It's doing it over a period of time, 10 years. So when you see these numbers and you talk about, you know, how much it is going to increase the debt, even though it does appear, depends who you talk to, about it being paid for, you know, it's over a period of time. It's over 10 years. So, you know, I think that what we're looking at is a way to help families be and help any inflation that we've been talking about. There's that it will help lower inflation as well as build up our economy. I mean, that's one of the main things, is to help build the economy and move it forward, giving families, working parents, a way to have their children taken care of so that, both parents can work in the family if need be. So I think it offers a lot. And one other thing that it really, really helps is the climate. And we have got to start to do something. And all the indicators are that if we do not, we're behind the eight ball on that right now. So even if we start now, there's still a long haul before we will see any effects. So we have to start.
Here's Bill Maynard to counter that.
Well, it is certainly not paid for. It will be inflationary. I mean, Econ 101, if you can't print money, and get yourself out of, spend yourself out of inflation. There's so much. I mean, if you're a student of history at all, you'd see that every country that's ever tried to print more than it produces, and the government doesn't produce anything. They take from you, they take from Bonnie, they take from me to do whatever it is they do. So, I mean, my fear is we're looking at a financial crisis, which was outlined in the CBO report. It was very clearly that it'll increase higher inflation. It will undermine confidence in the U.S. dollar. It'll make it much more difficult to finance both public and private activities in the international marketplace. And the dollar will no longer be the currency of the world.
Mm. Bonnie?
Well, again, it depends who's looking at it and reading it. That isn't exactly what has been said, that it will help with inflation. It will help improve the economy. It does have a part paid for. It is being paid for. So that's what's out there, and it's all how you interpret it.
How does it help inflation, Bonnie? You said?
Well, getting people, you know, putting people back into work,
I see,
is what really helps that, because it stimulates the economy and, you know, people start spending, and that's what's going to help lower inflation.
Bill, what about that? This will be a huge stimulus, won't it, for the economy?
No, okay. It definitely will not be a stimulus to the economy at all. I mean, what you're doing is moving from the private sector to the public sector. You have more and more public control. I care about the families as much as Bonnie or you or anyone. But when you don't, I love the mm-hmm. euphemism of the child tax credit. Mm-hmm. It is not a child tax credit.
What is it?
It's a welfare payment. Mm. And there's no means testing for it. So it doesn't matter. I can get it. My sons can get it, who are gainfully employed. My daughter can get it, who's gainfully employed as well, if they so choose.
Sounds like you think it's like a boondoggle.
It is a boondoggle.
Bonnie's shaking her head here, saying that is no way true.
No.
Is Bill wrong about this?
Yes, it's already helped, you know, millions of families, millions of children, kept them over 50% out of poverty. This is not a welfare. It's not making it a welfare state, as Bill would indicate. It's really helping families that need the help.
We're going to pause right here, Bill and Bonnie, and talk about my favorite bakery in town. Bill, on your Thanksgiving table, did you have any pies?
I did.
What flavor?
Pumpkin and apple.
Both those could have been easily baked and at Mona's Danish Bakery, where they had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Bonnie, what was on your Thanksgiving table when it came to dessert?
It was pumpkin and sherry.
There you go. And I know for a fact that Steve and the team up at Mona's Danish Bakery did a lot of pumpkin pies. And I know they did a cherry, at least for us, because that's my wife's favorite. So they had a great Thanksgiving season. But guess what? We're now into the Christmas season, and this will be a very busy time up at Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. They are located northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Kringle, Bill and Bonnie, just kind of sounds Christmassy, doesn't it?
It sure does.
You know, it is a lovely Danish pastry, and its cousin is the Danish coffee cake, and either of those items just would make it really special for you on Christmas. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. We'll be back with Bill Maynard and Bonnie Heidler with our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, back right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Tom Sullivan here, inviting you to join the rest of us who spend every weeknight from 7 to 10 with the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. And to all of our Jewish friends, happy Hanukkah. Hanukkah began last night and will go on for 8 days. All right. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Monday political face-off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing right next to Copenhagen. If you need any framing done for the holidays, Moe's is the place to go. Fort Lowell and Dodge, their website is moesgallery.com. And with us now on our Monday political face-off, a new team of commentators. Bonnie Heidler is here, the chairwoman of the Democratic Party of Pima County, and Bill Maynard, who is the chair of the Legislative District Number 11, one of the largest Republican districts in Pima County. Let's switch from the Build Back Better plan, the national issue, to a big local issue, the fourth and final in-person independent redistricting committee meeting is coming up, Bonnie and Bill. What can you tell us about the meeting, Bonnie, and is everyone invited?
Everyone is invited and encouraged to attend. It will be on Saturday, December 4th, at the Four Points Sheraton near the airport. We're hoping to make our comments about our communities of interest, as well as how the maps are laid out.
Bill, what the maps being laid out, tell us a little bit about this independent redistricting commission. For those that have not followed this, there have been hearings all over the state.
Yes, there have. Arizona is one of the few states that has an independent redistricting commission. So it's not gerrymandered by the party in power at the time. Hmm. So you have two Republicans, two Democrats, and one independent on the five commissioners.
Who selected these people?
They were selected, they were by the parties,
okay,
pretty much.
All right.
And the chairwoman is an independent, mm-hmm. and you have a Republican attorney, general counsel, and you have a Democratic general counsel. And they've had extensive hearings publicly as well as virtual. And it is so important. It's paramount that everyone, it makes a huge difference. It affects the elections for the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And this
so these
is
are done every 10 years.
Every 10 years mm-hmm. based on following the census.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. Yep.
And so when will the redistricting, when will these lines become final?
They're supposed to be final by December 22nd. Mm-hmm. So this will be the last opportunity to make comments. In fact, it actually is the very last day. The very next day, they start working on the final map.
Because you've got to get, if people are thinking about running for election,
correct,
they've got to have some idea where they're going to be running, what area.
Exactly. And no matter what you have to do Saturday, mm-hmm. politically, there's nothing more important in this area than being at the airport and mm-hmm. giving your testimony and talking about your community of interest and why you like or don't like which maps and so forth, or present another map as well.
Generally, Bonnie, the Democrats have not liked what they've seen. Is that a fair statement?
Well, right now it's favoring Republicans, especially here in Pima County. And so that is an issue. The way that it's favoring it is gerrymandered right now. We're hoping that that gets fixed. If it doesn't, then, you know, there's probably going to be some lawsuits, I would suspect. As was last time.
Mm-hmm. Where specifically was the gerrymandering going or is going on, in your opinion?
Well, there's one district 17, mm-hmm. Which goes basically from like Green Valley all the way up through and around through the Catalina foothills over the mountain range. Sounds like to grandmother's house we go. And by the time we then get to Saddlebrook, mm-hmm. it covers that. And that is, and it's leaning very heavily Republican. And that's difficult because, as I said, it goes over a mountain range. You know, for me to drive from one end to the other end is over an hour and goes, and, you know, I have to go through several different districts because I can't go through the mountain range to get to another part of my district.
That's District 17.
The proposed new district would be District 17.
And what do you think about the proposed new district, Bill Maynard?
Well, I like it for several reasons. First of all, it'll be a shorter drive to me, although I live in Oro Valley.
Okay.
Vail is closer to me than the town of Maricopa. Mm-hmm. And the western section of the town of Maricopa is in LD11. Mm-hmm. I'm in LD11, of course, as you've indicated. Mm-hmm. So it will... Casa Grande is also currently in. Casa Grande will go. Maricopa will go. The town of Maricopa will go. We'll pick up Saddlebrook Ranch in addition to Saddlebrook, Catalina, Marana, Oro Valley, Vail, the Tank Verde Valley, the Houghton District. And there's a lot of things in common with the people in Marana, for example, and people in Vail. I mean, you can still ride horses on the large streets there. Mm-hmm. And people live there in a... rural, they chose to live there because of the rural
state. Geographically, though, it's a large, kind of a large, seems like it's quite separated.
It is a donut because of the mountain. I mean, if you didn't know the mountain was there, it looks pretty contiguous, right? Mm-hmm.
So. But you're saying it has a mutual interest in the rural lifestyle? Is that
yeah,
it?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah, for mm-hmm. the sections, yes. Mm-hmm. Common lifestyle, you know, the people... the doctors, the dentists, they shop there, the favorite restaurants are there and so forth. And if you want to talk about gerrymandering, mm-hmm. now I'm for what I hear from my Democratic colleagues, mm-hmm. and Bonnie is certainly a terrific lady. Mm-hmm. The competitiveness is what we hear from the Democrats all the time. And I would say amen to competitiveness, especially if you look at Tucson.
This will be very competitive.
It will still be competitive.
Bonnie is shaking her head, saying 17, no way.
Over 10 points.
10-point difference. You would say the Republicans will have
54 to 44. That's what it is.
Wow.
Right now.
Uh huh. So you think this was kind of a bone thrown to Republicans?
Oh, it definitely was.
In
fact,
Arizona.
The independent chair said that.
Really.
Said it's really great to have a Republican-only district in Pima County, which is definitely an odd statement. And the current map was actually drawn by the second vice chair. This has been reported.
That's not true. Okay. Absolutely not true.
Okay.
It
drawn
has
by
been
the
reported,
second vice chair of the Pima County. And Bill says
no,
that's...
The,
where is that coming
submitted,
from? Yeah.
Well, I don't want to get into that on the air. I don't
okay.
It would be inappropriate for me to get on the air.
Not on the air, but...
And the map that she presented was an earlier map.
Oh, okay.
It's not the 10.0. It's not the new 17.
Okay.
I was there. I know.
Okay. But, Bill, you're saying that 17 is really what the area needs, a competitive district. Is that kind of what I'm hearing from you?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Because right now... It's so heavily Democratic.
Well, Tucson is certainly, sure. as we all know.
Uh-huh.
But not that district. That mm-hmm. district's part of old LD10, like mm-hmm. I said, will be mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. old LD10. And it's had, and CD2, and it has had Republicans, Martha McSally, mm-hmm. And it had Todd Clawfelder, who was in the House, Arizona State House. So... It has been a competitive district. It isn't now.
Well, it sounds like at this meeting coming up at the Four Point Sheraton Hotel out at the airport on Saturday at 10 a.m., it sounds like Democrats will be sounding off about this issue. Is that correct, Bonnie?
That's our plan.
Bill, is it a done deal?
Oh, no, it's not a done deal.
All right.
Absolutely not a done deal. You know, that's the final draft as it appears, but mm-hmm. then there's still more public hearings in other areas after this. So, no, it's absolutely in play. And that's why it's so important if you're in Southern Arizona, be there at the Sheraton Saturday morning.
And it's not just for legislative districts, it's for our congressional districts.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, see, currently LD 11, we have CD 1, 2, and 3, which surprises a lot of people. Mm-hmm. We actually have two streets in the city of Tucson, but a bit of trivia there. So, we're all for competitive districts, and definitely Tucson needs to be more competitive.
I would suggest getting there early.
It starts at 10, so you want to get there early and sign in. Yeah.
And probably there'll be limited seating.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So get there or be square, as they say. All right. Bill Maynard, would you like to direct people to the Pima County website for Pima County, your Republicans? If they want more information, would that be a good way to go?
That's a good way to go as well, or call the office and so forth. Just go to PimaCountyGOP.org.
Yeah,
so.
Just Google that. And Bonnie, Pima what GOP. About the Dems?
PimaDems.org, and there's more information.
Okay. Bonnie Heidler, good to see you again. Bonnie's second appearance with us on the Monday Political Face-Off. And Bill Maynard, his debut on the Buckmaster Show. Thank you, Bill. And for those wondering, where does Bill, that accent of Bill, it sounds like it could be Georgia.
I don't have an accent. You two guys speak a
there
little different.
There you go. No, all right. Thank you both very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
All
Thanks,
right.
Bill.
The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's, Gowry, and Fine Framing. They have revamped their website. It looks really good. Check it out, Moe's Gowry.com, and Moe's Gowry and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen. Be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Moe's Gowry and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gowry and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Green Things, your home for poinsettias. My goodness, they have thousands of them. They grow thousands of them. There won't be thousands left by the time Christmas is over. So now would be a great time to check out the poinsettias over at Green Things. Beautiful flowers. They come in so many different varieties. Green Things, 3384 East River Road. They are open daily. Their website is greenthingsaz.com. Their sister business is Zocalo Village. And at Zocalo Village, they have some beautiful Talavera pottery, beautiful handcrafted furniture. Some of the mesquite furniture is just absolutely beautiful, crafted right here in Tucson. And some of them, some of the pieces are from Mexico. But if you're looking for a beautiful dining room set, I would strongly suggest a visit over to Zocalo at Green Things on their 13-acre site at 3384 East River Road. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. Adelita Grijalva, Pima County Supervisor and the Chairwoman of the Tucson Unified School District Board. Adelita, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was really great. It was very nice to be able to get together with family. And while
it's
a little stressful to get together in big groups, it was really great.
Yeah, it can be very stressful. Yeah. And, of course, the news broke over the Thanksgiving about the new variant that was first detected in South Africa. We're all keeping our fingers crossed. The world seems to be waiting with bated breath to see whether or not our vaccines will be effective against the variant. There has been some good news. Scientists in Israel and in South Africa are saying that so far the indications are that it's mild disease from what they have seen. So maybe this variant won't be as bad as some had worried about. But still, it might be, I would think, appropriate, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, for the Board of Supervisors to maybe take a look again at what's being done, because we've got a lot of COVID disease in this community already.
We really do, and it continues to increase. I get the daily reports from Tucson Unified School District schools, and the numbers are also continuing to increase. And so, you know, pros and cons to being part of the county, which is part of the state, is that really the direction that we have to take for the most part lies with our governor. And so he made a statement, I think this weekend, about how he is still unwilling to require any mask or vaccine mandates, and that that still has to be a personal choice. So it puts us all in a difficult position, because we know that masks are effective in deterring infection, even though we're still continuing to get sick. It was really good news a week ago, where we had 68,000 children between the ages of 5 and 11 that have already been vaccinated. And so those numbers continue to increase, and I'm sure we'll get an update at our next board meeting.
There are nearly 2,000, is that correct, county employees who have still not been vaccinated, or is that number a lot less than that now?
It's a little less, but not by much. We just received an update, actually, on the number of vaccinated employees. And so we see incremental increases, like, you know, 1% or 2%, depending on the department. And so just to give you an idea, 2 weeks ago, the sheriff's department was at 64%. Now they're at 66%, but they still have, you know, of 1,339 employees, 882 are vaccinated, so the rest are not.
So overall, it's about 83-84% of the county employees.
84%.
84%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're actually down to about 1,030.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 6,200, almost 6,300 employees, and 5,265 are vaccinated.
Is there still talk of terminating those that don't eventually get vaccinated at Alita Grauva?
That's going to be coming before the Board of Supervisors, because I think they were hoping that, you know, we would implement kind of like we're doing in a lot of other places where you implement weekly testing. But, we're a self-insured organization, and so the risk continues to increase.
How about as far as TUSD? You are the chair of the TUSD board, governing board. What is the situation with vaccinations in the district?
Well, we actually thought that we were going to be in a position where we had to make vaccines mandatory or come up with an alternative process because OSHA was going to mandate vaccines. And so that would have included a school district. But they backed away from that idea right now. And so we're looking at weekly testing for those employees that are unvaccinated. And that's a really convenient thing for our employees in Tucson Unified because we have pool testing. And so at every school site, every work site, we have people coming in to test those that have signed the permission for students and any other staff that's willing. And so, you know, they come to us. So we don't have this employees don't, we are trying to make it as convenient as possible and still keep everyone as safe as possible.
Has it generally been a success story as far as keeping the classrooms open at Alita Grauva?
It has. It's a lot of hard work from a lot of really dedicated site people, and the Pima County Health Department is helping us. Every district, but Tucson Unified has been the beneficiary of that. We've had tests that are available at our nurses' offices. We have supplies that are ready. You know, sanitation, all kinds of, we've done everything we can to try to keep our doors open, and that's really the goal. So I keep encouraging staff and students and parents to get vaccinated so we can keep our schools open. Because every time we have a holiday, if you look at the trend, there's a real big spike in COVID infection. So I'm unfortunately, we're preparing for that.
You know, I keep looking at these daily numbers for the state of Arizona. The caseload continues to be anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000. In Pima County, it's around 600 to 700 cases. That is far too much COVID in this community right now.
It really is. And if you walk around our community in a lot of places, you wouldn't know that we're in a pandemic. A lot of people are unmasked. I mean, because everything is optional. A lot of people are opting not to. And then, you know, many of us are vaccinated and have had a booster. I had mine on Saturday. And, I think that we're listening to some of the previous advice from the CDC before the variants that said, hey, if you're vaccinated, you can go without a mask. And so mm-hmm. as soon as that happened, whether people were vaccinated or not, masks came off.
And I think there has been so much, the messaging has been so confusing to many about from the CDC on the boosters. I really wish they had just said that, look, if you've had, and hopefully you've had your shot 6 months after that, you're eligible for a booster, which is mm-hmm. now the messaging, which I right. think should have been right there at the very beginning. Get your booster because, you know, we hear these breakthrough infections. In many cases, they are of people who had early on got their shots last February and March. And in certain yep. individuals, depending on your age, it does wane. So be on the safe side. Get the booster as soon as you can.
Yes, and I heard that very clearly from, I actually ended up visiting two TUSD schools that had pop-up sites on Saturday because holiday, that where I took my son to get his second dose, ran out of adult doses.
Mm.
So I had to go to Lawrence, which was nice. I like to visit that campus. But, they had enough boosters. So I think that what I sent a message to Dr. Cullen just kind of explaining what happened with me and said, you know, I think we need to minimally have an equal number of doses regardless of where it is, but especially at our school sites, because we have parents that are obviously wanting to get their child vaccinated if they're coming onto our campus to do it. And if they haven't had an opportunity to get their booster, that's a good time to do it.
It certainly
Everything
is.
Very convenient. Yep.
Adelita, stick on the phone, if you will, for another segment. We're going to take a break right here. When we come back, I want to talk with you about kind of the hot issue right now for the Pima County Board of Supervisors, and that is moving forward with legal action against the city over these differential water rates. We'll be right back with Pima County Supervisor and the chairwoman of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board, Adelita Grijalva, right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Kate Delaney. Join me tonight for a conversation about what's happening in the world that affects you. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Hope everybody had a lovely Thanksgiving. I did. We did at the Buckmaster household. And what is it about Thanksgiving? When I got on the scale this morning, at least a full pound heavier than when I weighed myself Thanksgiving morning. And I tried to be really good and not overeat. I think there's just something about the day itself means a few more calories. Well, maybe a bunch more calories. And also to our Jewish friends, happy Hanukkah. Hanukkah began last night. All our best to each and every one of our Jewish listeners, and hope they have a great Hanukkah season. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico is ready to welcome all of our Tucson residents. Take the three-hour drive. It's just a beautiful area. You can hike in the Gila National Wilderness, visit the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, or really just kind of hang out and enjoy that atmosphere in Silver City. They have some beautiful Victorian homes. I think you'll be very surprised if you have not taken that three-hour drive over there, and you'll say, wow, I didn't know what I was missing. For more on things to do and places to stay, visit Southwest New Mexico, just spelled out, .org, and they have a great website with so many ideas about things to do. Let's continue now on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, with Pima County Supervisor Adelita Grijalva. Adelita also is the chairwoman of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. Adelita, your colleague on the five-member board, Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott, sent out a two-page news release last night concerning the legal action that the county is pursuing against the city of Tucson over the differential water rates for those living in the unincorporated area. The vote on that legal action was 3-2. You voted against it. However, as Supervisor Scott points out in his news release, that you were critical of the city's actions in imposing these higher rates. Would you like to elaborate a little bit for our listeners?
Sure. I actually am critical of it because there are so many exemptions. Really what it is, I think it should be, is a lift, charge, like an increase depending on where you are and the effort that it takes to get the water there. You know, that to me makes sense. The city tried to do that before, and there were several recalls. And so I think that's why we're looking at differential water rates. I really wanted to see the city move in the direction of acknowledging that we're in a drought and charging accordingly based on water usage and increase. If those families that are really high users, that cost would be more. Because I do think that sort of hitting your pocketbook is one of the quickest ways to work towards better conservation habits. But, I am critical of it. But honestly, and what I said during the board meeting is that while I am critical, do I believe that we have do they have the right to do it? Legally, are they able to do it? And they are. And so early on when they were going through this process, there was criticism because there hadn't been a study done. Well, now they did the study. And so I think the courts are going to really lean towards the right of the city to be able to impose these differential water rates. We have five other cities and two water districts that are doing it in Arizona, and so there is precedent for it. I was really hoping that we would be able to work more collaboratively to come up with whatever the cost is. I mean, I understand that there are infrastructure needs that haven't been addressed in for water, and so I think that is a conversation that we could have had. Now I feel that everyone has sort of dug their heels in, and it's off to court we go.
Is it off to court we go? Because we had Mayor Romero with me on the air the day before Thanksgiving, Wednesday afternoon, and she called this pending lawsuit purely symbolic. Those were her words on my radio show. So I'm kind of wondering, Supervisor, whether or not this is it symbolic, or do you think there will actually be legal action taken?
Well, I mean, that was the direction of the Board of Supervisors.
Uh-huh.
So unless a judge looks at it and dismisses it right away, I mean, that's the direction we're going in. We were very clear on requesting. I mean, the majority voted. The motion was to move forward with obtaining outside legal counsel to for court action. And so that was a public vote.
You just think you wish there had been a better way to handle it. Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
I do. I wish that we would have been able to collaborate. But really, I mean, we have competing, you know, quotes and press releases, and I feel that people have dug in. Like, this is a hill that everyone wants to, you know, we want to fight on this one, and I feel it's unfortunate because when we do work together, we're able to accomplish quite a lot, and that was one of the things that surprised me, continues to surprise me about how adversarial the city and the county can be on some issues, and then when we really work together, it just benefits our community. So I was hoping to do that, but.
And on a positive side, it does look like there is cooperation with the Regional Transportation Authority and getting together and working toward a renewal of the 20-year plan.
And I'm glad for that because I think, again, when we work together and we're not adversarial, it benefits our community. I was hearing, you know, the city's concern, and I shared the concern that a lot of the investment was happening outside of Pima County, and we wanted to see more of that happening within the city as well. So, and also distributing the votes a little better, I think, and more equitably makes a lot of sense.
But one thing from what you just said, you were surprised about how the city and county can really kind of go at it one minute, and then the next minute everybody is saying, yeah, we can get along. It's been surprising to you.
Well, it's just mostly frustrating. Frustrating because when we coordinate efforts, I mean, look at what we were able to do with vaccine distribution and
right,
with testing
right.
sites. I mean,
yes.
When we complement each other, it really is just seamless, and people don't know, oh, this is a city-funded site, that's a county-funded site. It's just available.
All right.
Excuse me, Adelita.
We have a caller. Matt would like to speak with Adelita Grijalva. Matt, I've got less than 2 minutes. Real quick question, please.
First of all, I agree with everything that Adelita has said. And very quickly, Adelita, my only concern is that we're dealing with cap water. And I'm concerned about what effect this will have on cap distribution to the region. And if you have any thoughts about that.
Yeah, I think that we're going to have to work with the state in order to ensure that we get the resources that we need. But ultimately, the concern is that we don't have enough of them. We have to start conserving. There has to be an effort from the state, from the city, from the county. All of us need to work together. And we really aren't getting any direction from the state, even acknowledging the fact that we're in a drought.
Yeah, and as we kind of wrap up this year, to me anyway, put my two cents in on the two issues I see. Well, actually, the three issues as we kind of wrap up this year, the continuing COVID situation, water, and transportation. Would you second that, Adelita?
I would. And well, also, we have a pandemic. So,
yep.
You know, the pandemic is overarching over all of it. And so getting our community healthy, it's going to continue to be an uphill battle when we have direction at the state level that says, you know, do what you can to keep yourself safe.
And then issue for you and your other putting your other hat on the school issue will be how far back did the kids, how much have they missed during the pandemic? And I think when we start getting some tests, we'll begin to see that, won't we?
Yeah, and it's not all academic, though. A lot of it is social-emotional.
Right.
And we see so many students that left, you know, at the end of sixth grade and are coming back at eighth grade or starting at high school. And just a lot those years where they didn't get the skill set to, you know, organize themselves in studying, to get their, you know, planner together. I mean, those skills, I notice it in my own children, and in talking to principals, they see the same thing. There's a level of immaturity there because so many children were isolated. They're having a hard time transitioning back into an environment with a lot of people. And, I mean, we see it very clearly at our schools, but I think if you ask adults, they feel it too.
All right. We're going to leave it right there. Adelita Grijalva, happy holiday season to you. Thank you very much.
Happy holiday. Thank you.
All right. That'll wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster saying, have a great afternoon, everybody.